Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, February 28th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Super Terra. Terra Alts, the challenge of tokenomics and value capture. Let's take a listen.
I think we had started.
Yeah, you just beat me too. I was going to suggest the same thing. So I guess for those listening back later and for those of you who've joined us live, this is a regular Monday debate that we have. We encourage open conversation from everyone on the spaces. I think if it was just Simon and myself for an hour, interesting that it would be for us. We're really keen that others come up and that we all share kind of viewpoints. So I think I started the first probably seven or eight saying we found a different topic every week. Well, this is the point where we've reached a kind of not a recycling by any stretch, but a revisiting of some of the earlier themes. We talked around some of the challenges in the Terra altcoin space. I mean, essentially, yeah, Luna is a massive gravitational pull for value. How do other projects that have tokens attached to them really realize value? And I think it's fair to say we've seen a lot of those coins bleed in recent times. We talked previously at a kind of a high level as to what potential opportunities there are to improve that, and I think there are some, you know, there are some signs of life. Anchor is certainly rebounding well, and that's great to see. And there are other tokens that have gone through a bit of an adjustment period. I'm certainly impressed with the way Spectrum is building up again, and there's certainly lots of positive noises around a number of other coins as well. So the purpose of today's discussion is to talk about what are the challenges around really gaining that longer term value, and how do we see that that kind of tokenomics position improve within the Terra alt space. So I'll hand over to Simon for your quick introductory thoughts, and we'll get it underway.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting because we're seeing this more than more in crypto in general, especially in the Terra space. We, in the past, I think, when past Terra seasons, past alt seasons and such, you could get away with a lot more. You look at, DeFi summer and those times, and I even remember all the way back to 2017, right? Your tokenomics mattered, but they didn't matter as much. And a lot of stuff was, more hype and speculation based. And now more than ever, and really, the tokenomics matter more than ever. Your ability to capture value, your emissions, your FDV, all that stuff is so important. And I think especially we're seeing it more and more. We see it more in Terra, especially because we're not, except for Anchor and Mirror, there's pretty much nothing on centralized exchanges as well. And that's where a lot of the newbie money and a lot of that stuff is. So you kind of get this closed loop ecosystem where you know, you're really requiring value to be able to real value capture and real stuff to be able to get off the ground. And I think we're still fresh. In the Terra Alts, and I think we're going to see like a proper Terra Alts season. But it is still hard fighting Luna. Obviously, with that Luna capturing so much value, and everyone wants to hold Luna. Everybody's moving to Luna, and they constantly dump their alts for Luna a lot of the time. So that's challenging, but I think that will flip as well. So I'm very excited for what the future holds. But yeah, this space is to talk about different tokenomics, and it, especially while we're in that phase where tokenomics always matters, but especially while where it matters so much more. While the funds aren't really flowing to the alts like they will in the future, it's good to discuss this.
Absolutely. Now, I think I can reflect on, I actually had a conversation earlier today around that 2016-2017 market where anything could ICO and it didn't really need to have a well thought out use case, and you'd see a lot of coins initially doing incredibly well, burning bright, and then fading out. I think now we have a more mature market where I think if anything, yes, we've seen some initial spikes from a number of different Terra Alt launches, but then we've seen very quickly a substantial reevaluation of a post initial launch, particularly as with a number of mints, we've seen a very low level of liquidity at launch, which has seen a massive spike as people have chased a relatively, at that time, illiquid token. And of course, as the supplies increased, we've seen a natural sell-off, which has then obviously depressed the price. And there's an argument there for how do coins that launch with a very low liquidity really expect to sustain the early valuations when perhaps that in some cases they were listing for less than perhaps 1 or 2% of the total intended final cap in terms of the coins that would be available for an overall kind of full market cap representation. And I think that's an interesting one. So I think also another area for me is how do we kind of ensure, use a kind of royal we around the space, that there's a real long-term commitment from the initial teams that perhaps are unlocking their own liquidity from projects, putting in reasonable and well-stated in advance vesting cliffs and what have you, so that there is a genuine sense of fair play there, and it's not a case of release the dam and the value erodes. So I think that's certainly a general discussion that I've heard around the market. Just obviously as we're getting warmed up now, as we see a few more coming in, which is fantastic, we'll always welcome folks to come in and listen. This is a very interactive space, so love to hear your thoughts on where you see perhaps opportunities for token launches, perhaps where projects haven't always got it right, opportunities to improve going forwards, and actually maybe more boldly, does every project necessarily need its own specific token? Are there cases where the actual genuine use case, if you really kind of crack the surface, it's not always there? I think that's just something else to challenge as well.
Absolutely. We've been talking about this a bit recently. There's times you actually stay away from a token. And I think the biggest use case for a token a lot of the time can be revenue distribution. Like, it's obviously got lots of uses. Like, you've got tokens like Prism, and you've got composable tokens that serve as financial tools and instruments where they can be programmed or used to create derivatives. But then you've got main protocol tokens, which obviously understand the launch side of things, like in terms of raising capital in the space, how having a token, a lot of the times they put that in place because it's a great way of raising capital to run the project. But I think the main parts of a token should come around revenue distribution, like obviously voting, and revenue distribution to users. So you're seeing platforms like Loop and Astro starting to bring in, fee distributions from the DEX, which is so important because it's so important to put that in place as you're making revenues from obviously the protocol. I can speak from obviously early stages of Loop where we were distributing all the fees to liquidity providers, but then you need to kind of have more value capture in that token and a reason to hold it. And I think Uniswap went through this for a fair, period of time. And, just having the governance, they were just like running off almost the governance token, I believe. And, at some point you got to shift away from that and have more uses from it. But yeah, I'm keen to open it up. So if you pop up your hand and put a request up, jump up and speak, and we can open up this debate.
Excellent. And whilst folks are sort of thinking about doing that, I think you make a really good point there, Simon. There needs to be a reason for people to retain the token. And I think there also needs to be a very clear value exchange that kind of spelled out by the projects, so that kind of initial airdrop and sell mechanic, which we have seen with a number of projects, is kind of dissuaded, so people have a sense of why they should retain a token. I appreciate it's the early stages of the space, and I've had already within Terra a number of investments that I've made in some of the Terra alts, and locked things up, and obviously in the short run it is painful when you see it bleeding, but it's that kind of longer term belief as well, because I think there is an element of that kind of quick turnaround, particularly against the backdrop of Luna going from literally single digit dollars to obviously its zenith in early December of over 100, obviously, and now having had a bit of a sort of a run back to the 40s and back up now obviously to 80s when I checked a few hours ago. So against that, it's hard for someone to then say, I'm going to put it into one of the alts, when they can see there's a genuine extremely strong pull at the center of the ecosystem to just keep your money or transfer your recently acquired additional funds into Luna itself.
Another interesting thing is I've heard a lot of talks about emissions, and the thing is you've got to be strategic with your emissions in terms of that really help too high emissions and you deal with like high inflation and bleeding of the token. Too low, and like if your emissions are too low, sometimes it's hard to run, especially if you're running a DEX, for example. Early stages, like the whole idea of the emissions is to bootstrap your liquidity to attract that liquidity in. The interesting thing, and I hear this talk a bit, and I agree with it, at the same time, I think it's a more of a Solana and a Terra specific issue that we have around tokens. And I mean, this happens around the place, and focus should always be on good tokenomics. But different ecosystems don't always struggle with that same issue. Like, I feel like, if anything, it's a good thing, because what it means is that Terra alts are forced to think about good tokenomics from the get-go, because it's to survive in Terra in this current market, this current stage, your tokenomics have to be really strong. Otherwise, we see this bleeding that happens. And even with good tokenomics, you see that bleeding happen. Whereas if you go over to, Cosmos and stuff, and I mean, they have good tokenomics, and a lot of those tokens also use as for validating and securing the network as well. But if you go over to Cosmos, there are still tokens that have pretty high inflations. You're looking at pretty high staking rates on a lot of these coins, and they're still accruing and gaining a lot of value. And I feel like that's positioning as well, and that's the ecosystem that you're in. And so if anything, it's a great advantage. I'm looking at now more and more as a great advantage in the early stages of Terra alts, that you really have to step up your game as a protocol and really work to capture as much value as you can into your token and create as much use case for your token, so that you're competing almost with Luna. You're competing with the value of Luna, and it's hard at the moment. It's hard for a protocol, but I think long term that will be a great play, because we're going to get protocols that have a lot better tokenomics, at least these the kind of early stage ones will work to develop better tokenomics.
So tangent it a bit, there's been some interesting challenges where particular tokens have launched, and you're right, the high emissions is a challenge, because in the short run that really appeals, and then we've seen a kind of a reassessment. I think, yeah, there was a bit of a sort of a noise in the market a few weeks ago with regards to, I think, was it Time, where there was some challenges around the team, around the tokens. That's the other, the tangent I was going to go on. I think sometimes it's not just about the token itself. It's about, if you like, the sense of a roadmap, development, and a kind of a mutual trust understanding between the investors, because essentially that's what we are, and the core team running. So it's just quite interesting to see how those things play out. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on, if you like, badly and well managed. We don't necessarily have to name either example. Teams outside of Terra that perhaps have created that short-term spark and spike, and other ones that perhaps have delivered on their kind of use case rollout. So it does amaze me how there are so many tokens, and this is outside of Terra, where there's no demonstrable use case, and yet they are persisting. And there are some incredibly loyal investor groups attached to them, but you look at the overall. Yeah, you're looking for the jam, and it's not there. I always find that quite an interesting angle to approach as well.
Yeah, well, there's almost I think crypto, especially, is oftentimes there is this detachment between fundamentals and, you know, the value of tokens, because you get a lot of projects that have, you know, really really high value and quite, you know, low fundamentals, and then you get really really high fundamental projects that have low value. You know, obviously a big part of that is the tokenomics, but not all the time. And I think over the long term that plays out. It's a long term game. I think tokenomics always wins out, but other things are important too. And perception, and in the crypto space, so much the sentiment, perception, and hype and stuff is a part of that in terms of accruing value. So it's understanding that too, that you can have the best fundamentals in the world, but if no one knows about you, then it doesn't really help you.
Absolutely. We have our first speaker of the evening, Yaupster. Yeah, you have the floor.
Hey guys, thanks. Are you guys trying to get topics of like on a specific like white paper within the Cosmos, or trying to keep it in general, or?
I think it's completely open. If you've got some thoughts on a specific white paper or project, then that's great. I mean, I say we tend to run these as, you know, genuinely open discussions, and they've gone in all sorts of tangents and directions over previous weeks. But yeah, I mean, by all means, if you've got a specific project in mind, very happy to explore that in more depth. Or if you've got a more general observation, either are most welcome.
Well, yeah, I'm actually interested in both types of conversations, really. But I think it's interesting to bring up Passage 3D Marketplace today, because I think they launched this morning, several hours ago. So people have actually bought and sold on the Passage 3D Marketplace for the first time today, an NFT that was actually minted or sold. Back in October. So there was some pent up demand, and now we have, a buying frenzy going on over there. But the Passage ecosystem in general is just the marketplace for 3D NFTs. Has anyone heard of of the Passage? This is the Cosmos.
I mean, I'm aware of it. I mean, I'm essentially more of a Terra guy, but yeah, I'm aware of it. And I didn't realize it actually launched today. I knew it was coming fairly soon, and it has been, I think, well, if you like, what's the word? I think pent up demand is absolutely right. I mean, what they've done is that they've really given a very good pre-launch build-up, which I think is actually quite powerful, and that probably applies to any new project. I think creating that excitement, that buzz, and obviously we've seen it go the other way with projects that perhaps haven't delivered as well. A recent hype project being Pixelmon, which I think a lot of us know didn't, or certainly so far hasn't lived up to that promise. However, Passage, just having a quick look now. So is that something you're partaking in?
For sure, yeah. No, my profile picture here is a Strange Clan Town 1 NFT, and I'm not here to, you know, show them whatever, because actually Strange Clan, the play to earn game, is supposed to just be one of many virtual worlds on the Passage ecosystem. So I'm really interested to get into the details of the tokenomics of the Passage ecosystem. They have their white paper out last month, so it's still kind of fresh on the marketplace, and in the ecosystem and being digested. But now that, you know, they're actually launched, at any moment we can have an airdrop, because they have said that they are going to do an airdrop. They've also said that they are not necessarily going to announce all the details of the airdrop. It's going to be kind of a surprise. Then they're not going to be like some of these other ones that we've seen that are like, here's a airdrop checker or like something like that. They are wanting to just kind of just drop it right into your wallet, and when it shows up, and bam, off to the races, especially since they've already kind of delivered the product first, you know. Now, they did sell the Strange Clan NFTs, like I said, back in October, so that kind of fueled the creation of the Passage ecosystem, but those are two separate, you know, kind of efforts. They plan on building like multiple worlds, and the team behind the Passage ecosystem, they've built and used their 3D worlds for numerous big companies. And then that's when they got the idea to move it into the Web3 world and build a game. But with the Passage, I'm really excited about how the tokenomics is designed. So they have incentivized you to hold on to your Passage coins and stake them for a reason. Like your reasoning for that would be to actually be able to use the virtual worlds. So it's kind of like if you're a builder, for example, anywhere in the Cosmos ecosystem, any project, whether that's a DEX, you can like come in to use Passage at your community instead of hanging out in Discord. You can come into the actual metaverse. Like we are hop, skip, skipping a step from like having these Discord meetings and Twitter spaces actually in metaverse worlds within the Cosmos via IBC transactions. So it's like, the Passage, bigger vision is to have multiple, like many, many worlds. And it would actually be a revenue generator for the Passage stakers, and kind of they have it designed to where if you're a builder building a world, say, like I said, like for the example I was trying to provide a minute ago, Osmosis Dex or, an Anchor Protocol or whatever, like, and you have your community, and you having these meetings all the time, you can come in and like rent a virtual world, right? And you don't have to like build it from scratch. It's kind of like a plug and play. You can then rent or purchase 3D assets that are on the marketplace and use those 3D assets in your world. We have like this compatible metaverse, constant building. Like people can make conferences, single use events, hangouts that everyone can go to, like NFT project, to make their own little metaverse hangout. They don't have to reinvent the wheel and create their own. They can come over here on Passage ecosystem, which is built on Juno right now, but they are anticipating launching a whole new chain once they get their validator set correct. But the token economics of Passage is something that I would really like to get your guys' thoughts on, since this is what, you know, this space is for. And you guys seem to like have your, you know what you're doing in that sense.
Well, what I'd love actually would probably be a good idea, and especially because we're talking about tokenomics, would be if we contrast that to tokenomics on Terra, and we can look at that through launches, like go, okay, what has Cosmos done in terms of their launches and their tokenomics on launches, and how does that compare to what's being done on Terra? Because I think Cosmos has in general better tokenomics, but also like there is a lot of money and there's a lot of a noise and hype going into Cosmos at the moment too. So it'd be interesting to contrast the different launches and kind of break it down to see where what is Cosmos doing right, and things like Passage and Osmosis Because Osmosis is a pretty high emissions DEX in general, but they're capturing a lot of value. So love to hear from you on that, and we can bounce back and forth and contrast it.
Well, yeah, I know on the Osmos, they have this thing called the third name, to where a third of the emissions is going to get reduced several times. But on the tokenomics for Luna compared to, or Atom, whatever you said, that I don't know exactly the background on Atom. I do know Juno was 100% airdropped.
And No, not Atom. I mean, comparing Terra alts, so Terra assets. So currently, like, just to give you a backstory, maybe I'm not sure if you're very active in Terra or familiar. One of the big issues that you know has obviously plagued Terra has been the value capture of Luna has, you know, really everybody just wants, not this is a generalization, but a lot of users in the space on the platforms and dApps being built on Terra often dump their tokens for Luna because there's a lot of Luna's got a lot of value capture. It's a very apex asset. People are like expected to keep appreciating. So because of that high interest in Luna, it's been a lot harder for tokens to retain their value. Is farming tokens or emissions tokens or anything have often been, you know, sold for Luna. There's also a couple of other issues that like issues or talking points on that, which has been, you know, around launches, you know, fair allocation to team and stuff on launches. Airdrops used to be a thing. Now they're less a thing because users thought that was creating the dumps in price, which may or may not be true. And then also, you know, launching tokens that have token utility and value capture from day one, which a lot of projects have launched very bare bones with their tokens, and they've seen their you know, the prices decrease. I don't know if this is 100% necessarily to do with tokenomics, because in other ecosystems they get away with this. But I'd love to contrast that with like a classic token launch on Cosmos or projects have done well and how they capture their value from day one or from early and actually gain that value as we've seen happen on Cosmos.
So I see throughout the ecosystem the airdrops and the tokenomics getting more thought put into them and there being a vesting. I don't see the airdrops going away because it's such a good way to drop and advertise a new project, and kind of the community almost expects it at this point to be decentralized in that way. But I see qualifications of airdrops being refined and incentive mechanisms put in place by smart dev teams to incentivize them to stake their entire airdrop instead of, you know, paper handing. For example, and I bring that up because Passage, I'm looking at their white paper now, and it says that they plan on offering an additional 50% bonus airdrop to people that stake their entire airdrop for 14 months. That's a long time to stake 100% of your airdrop and you get a 50% boost. Now, the speculation is that the spinoff from that staking, your staking rewards in this case, would be enough to spend on, because they have this deflationary mechanism built in on their token as well. And we haven't got really into that much, but that is one reason why I like their token. When I see a deflationary mechanism built in from the start, like you were saying, having a real utility, the utility is, yeah, you got to have this coin to be able to use their virtual world and their metaverse builder toolkit. And, you know, if you want to host in the metaverse, which is the future, you got to use their coin. So there's a deflationary aspect of it that's tied with the demand for a metaverse virtual private worlds, because like everyone that, you know, you can use a temple, and I'm sure they'll have like a town hall area where everyone could go, but if you want your own world, private world for your group or your community or whatever, you'd have to use some of those tokens. So I think that circling back to the airdrop problem, like with dumping and people getting well, also whales or just gaming happening, like making tons of wallets. I've seen a lot of teams refine their airdrop techniques, and I think that's gonna help a lot.
Yeah, it's been interesting for us looking over from Terra and looking at Osmosis and Juno and all these projects launching, and
hey guys,
their FDVs and market caps are a lot higher than projects on Terra. So it's been kind of interesting to look at that and go, you know, where are they capturing their value and how they, you know, launching and running these projects. in a way in which they're capturing that extra value. I'm very interested in that. I mean, it is a different, there are a different animal. I mean, they're pretty much their own chains as well, built on Cosmos. So it is, it's not necessarily like they're a dApp built on a platform, but they do still have pretty high emissions. Like I look at Osmosis and I go, Osmosis does have pretty high emissions, which is usually, pretty much very like looked down upon these days on Terra. And, you know, our emissions on Terra, even the highest emission protocols, are not really as high as, and nowhere near as high as some on other chains. So I know that gets used as an excuse, and a lot of people are like, you know, your emissions are crazy high. But that is a bootstrapping mechanism of dApps, and that's half. You know, if you've got a DEX, for example, farms are a really, really important part of bootstrapping the liquidity in early stages of a project, so that you can create that sustainability. And I think that's important, but yeah, you've got to be able to capture that value. Otherwise, your farm token is not worth much. So it's important to look at it and see how Cosmos and Osmosis have done that.
For sure. And like you touched on a second ago, it's definitely a big difference between a layer one of your own being a layer one versus being a layer two on Terra, where you are totally subject to, Luna, the apex asset, as you referred to. Because, yeah, exactly. All these coins not all, but a lot of these chains, these are separate blockchains, and it's a bigger deal to go into it. You have to set up your entire validator set, which is an undertaking. So that, I think that's a big reason why the few projects that we've seen that have like really taken off in the Cosmos, which is that number is growing, have really strong use cases, because they believed in them so much that they built an entire blockchain on them. So they didn't just, and I'm not trying to diminish the undertaking of creating a layer two on Terra. Obviously that's an undertaking as well, but it is a little bit different, right?
Absolutely. I think the cost of the barrier of entry is a lot lower, I think, in general. I think it does also, and people don't talk about this much, and I think, non-builders don't really look at this. Terra is actually really hard to build on in certain shapes and forms. And I can only speak from, personal experience without, bringing it up too much. But, definitely had a lot of issues with certain things building on top of Terra. So it's not an easy task either. Like, even without the validator stuff, there's a lot of roadblocks that come into play. And I know it's built on the Cosmos SDK and stuff, but there is a lot of like bits and pieces that come with where it's not always just reliant on your own upgrades. I know we had a lot of issues around when Columbus 5 upgrade was launched. That was kind of when we launched Loop, and we had a lot of tech issues around Columbus 5. It was a fresh technology, it was a fresh upgrade, and you're pretty much subject to that too. So it's kind of important to look at that too and know that you definitely are reliant on some of the tech issues that the ecosystem has, but I don't want to touch on that too much.
So another coin that has been recently introduced that might be a good comparison, bringing back to Luna, is Shade. They just had their airdrop like last week, and they don't have mainnet yet, but we can look at their tokenomics now because they did finally announced that. So they are attempting to be a secret stable coin with privacy layer built in. They're launched on the secret network, so they're a layer two. So it's, again, we're having that discrepancy comparing things, but they are very similar to Luna, the burn between Luna and UST and the design mechanism there, with a few exceptions. Obviously, like I said, is they're a layer two on secret network, so that gives them a privacy by default. But also the silked coin that is the mint burn aspect of it is actually not supposed to peg the dollar, the US dollar. It's going to peg, they want it to peg a basket of currencies. So it'll still be stable, but it won't necessarily be a direct one-to-one for US dollars necessarily. It'll be a global basket of currencies. So that's a unique approach to a stable coin needs. And obviously with having the secret aspect of it, I mean, I think privacy is important. I don't want the person that I'm buying a hot dog from at the ball game. Once I do get to this point where I can use my stablecoin cryptos, spending $4, well, more like $12 at a game or something like that, buying just a hot dog, you know, I don't want to buy my buddy a hot dog and then him think that all of a sudden, you know, I have all this money and look, all this money that you got, you're buying everyone's hot dogs next time. I don't want to, that shouldn't be a thing, really, to be honest. But there is one other, difference that we can talk about between UST and Luna. Obviously, Luna already has a massive adoption. So, like you mentioned earlier, like another stablecoin in the cosmos doesn't necessarily make sense. Like to try to take on UST is futile, I think. Other than, you know, there are this huge layer of privacy interest. So there is a use case there, but also it's not necessarily a direct competitor because it's a basket of currencies instead of straight to the UST, US dollar. And then it does have an interesting mechanism where you can actually burn Secret as well, which is the layer one coin on Secret Network. You can burn Secret as well as the Shade coin. And there's some opportunities there that the protocol automatically takes advantage of, and that provides a revenue stream to the Shade stakers. So there's additional revenue streams to the Shade stakers that the Luna stakers don't have. So your thoughts on that, maybe?
Yeah, like honestly, I don't know enough about distribution of the protocol revenues to the stakers. It really helps. I think it's looking at it like, you know, I built some videos on this recently, and it's an interesting way to look at it. It's you know, Web 3.0 is where protocols are owned by, well, in theory, right, where protocols are owned by their communities, and they also earn like dividends and shares in like and returns in the you know, success of the protocol as well. So I think if you can use that token as a distribution token where you can build revenue sources and distribute them to token holders, that's always going to add to some, you know, value accrual rather than it being a print token that's used for incentive. But long term, that's not a sustainable approach. And you've seen this a lot in DeFi over the years, which is tokens have just used as a free money incentive thing, but with no value attached. And I think that's kind of, you know, not going to work in the future anymore. That token printing without value is kind of dead, in my opinion. And you need to kind of build in you know, good value mechanisms early. I mean, tokens are still used as a bootstrapping mechanism. I mean, it's almost similar to, you know, how the Federal Reserve prints money to do particular actions, right? So tokens are an important part of it, and especially the early stages of a protocol, tokens are used to bootstrap, to be able to work towards sustainability. The problem in DeFi has been that a lot of protocols have relied simply on those tokens rather than working as hard to build into the sustainability. And I know this takes time. It's not an overnight thing. But the whole goal, especially with liquidity and all this sort of stuff, is to use those tokens to build up sustainable liquidity so that in the long term you can have sustainable liquidity and you don't need to rely on those tokens. And those tokens can accrue value in other ways. So interesting stuff. I think we're going to move over to WizardWax, because I know he's been patient for a while, and we'll loop back around anyway. And keep this conversation open.
I was actually going to I was just really asking to catch up on what you guys were like exactly talking about. Are we talking about just Terra altcoins?
I think we're waffling a bit, not in a bad way, in a good way. We got into contrasting Terra altcoins to Cosmos and the difference, because Terra's, you know, obviously hasn't done as well as a lot of the Cosmos projects. So we're kind of looking at the tokenomics and value capture across there.
On the Terra alt, I'm still so new. I'm still so new to like the buying like alternative coins on the Terra ecosystem. So I'm still not sure about that. But I heard you guys talking about Cosmos, and I wanted to bring up another blockchain. It's called Syscoin, S-Y-S coin. It's a new blockchain that's coming up. And in December, they released a smart contract and everything. So they're a really new blockchain that's coming up with the NFT marketplace on the coming up and everything. That's something I think everybody needs to look into, because they might be like something to like look at. They're in super early stages and the market cap's only around like 500 mil or something. So Syscoin is something to really look into if you guys are looking for like alternative, like next, like Luna coin or something like that.
See, this is really interesting.
That's exactly what you guys are talking about, though, because I came in late.
No. We're looking at tokenomics, and this is really interesting, and this is kind of where you can maybe add input on this. Because, like, 500 market cap compared to any Terra alts is massive, and I know it's its own chain, it's blockchain. But we're trying to contrast the, like, you know, especially in launches, right? You take Syscoin, for example, that haven't launched yet, and their market cap is 500 mil. What current tokenomics and value is that token accruing pre-launch to have that valuation? Or is a lot of that based on future speculation? Because on Terra, you don't get away with that. Like on Terra, your token, when you launch, if you don't have built-in value accrual and staking and really high tokenomics on launch, your token's going to get destroyed. And even then, you're still going to get destroyed. So it's interesting. I'd love to hear your perspective on what you know of that project and what their token value has right at this minute still.
Syscoin is still super new. Their tokenomics is, like, I would say closer to Ethereum, you know what I mean? It's not as so close to Luna as Luna is, like, you burn when, like, some Luna is spent, it burns and stuff. I never really cared for Luna's, like, tokenomics as much because eventually, like, we're building on Terra ecosystem. So what happens when there's little Luna to go around? Like, I'm a project manager. Like, so if I'm starting a project and I want to help other people start a project, eventually Luna will be too hard to get. So we'll have to adopt UST as the almost, I would say, native currency for Terra, because it's going to get so expensive just to get one Luna. It'll be the same. Obviously, $5 is still $5, but you get what I'm saying. One Luna will be way higher than it is this month, this year. Luna's going to be way bigger. So I'm just concerned on the scalability of Luna when it starts to get to, like, the price of, like, $200-$300, you know what I mean, $1. That's when
that's not an issue, because Luna's not meant to be the native currency. Luna's not meant to be the native currency of the blockchain. UST is. So UST is actually designed to be the native blockchain currency. Luna is just designed to be the stabilizer and the running of the network, like validating and stuff like that. And it's actually a good thing that Luna's value accrues. Like, that isn't so much a concern in terms of the running of the blockchain, like Ethereum or Bitcoin. UST is designed to be the native stable, you know, native currency of the blockchain that's used across the blockchain. So I don't think we'll get that issue so much.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I didn't know. Like, there's so much on, like, Luna that, like, you could sit there and research for a while, but if you don't really talk to people, sometimes you'll never get it yourself.
I actually, it's interesting, like, what will really help, I've got a couple of videos, high-end animated videos. I've been building a learning
YouTube
platform. And yeah, we just, I'm building Loop Learn, and TFL has commissioned, I think it's now up to 450 videos, highly animated videos, very high quality. We've got about 12 out so far. I think the new Terra ones are launching, and I've built two explainers on Terra, which are really, I think they're really good in terms of explaining, you know, more the mechanisms and the mission behind Terra. I know we already had some of those on YouTube, but these are even more in depth, and I think we covered it off pretty well. So they should be out today. We had a bit of delays on coming out, but that should help on that side. But we really want to look at just good tokenomics, and maybe focus on alts more and altcoins, and really go, you know, looking at those projects, like, from the inception of a project to into launch, right? You're building up hype. You're looking at launching. Some blockchains, you may get away with not having tokenomics and staking and everything built from day one. I mean, you look at projects like Cardano that pretty much built off hype for 4 years. So it's quite an interesting contrast, right? Whereas with Terra alts,
I understand now. It's just because I joined a little late, so I was still, like, a little lost on what you guys are talking about. If we're talking about, like, Terra and how it was, like, when we think about, like, Terra launched on BSC, aka BNB, when they announced their launching, their tokenomics were similar to a lot of other shitcoins on BNB. So I was super skeptical of the actual, like Terra ecosystem. You know what I mean? Just because they had the same tokenomics as a few of these shitcoins. I don't know if you guys ever heard of like Baby Doge or any of that. It burns supply when you use it and stuff. A lot of tokenomics did that on BNB. So I thought Terra was copying that, but their ecosystem got a lot better because they actually, they integrated it with a lot of other stuff. So like you can actually buy Luna from different other blockchains now, so to help. But I was always skeptical of Luna just because the tokenomics I didn't like, but the burning of it actually does help in the long run. So I do like that.
I think that's a really good point, and apologies, I've had quite a few sound issues. Can you hear me now? I'm hoping. It's still not working, is it? You can. Excellent. I think the genesis of Terra Luna, absolutely. Baby Doge and some of those other ones. Yeah, absolutely right. I think what Terra Luna's done really well, though, is, and I think TFL would nod to this. They had the early stage of the launch of the concept and then the initial Terra Luna token, but they really took a long time to incubate the ideas around it. And it's really the value capture only really grew as the use cases started to go live. And I think in terms of how the system works, and obviously it's trying to draw the liquidity in through the growth of protocols and in more recent times lots of NFT projects and so on, and that side of it will create the value, and we were seeing some pretty bold moves recently in terms of the Luna fund investing in significant Bitcoin reserves and what have you. So there's a lot of real kind of cast iron strength under the valuation of Terra Luna. However, I think the conversation in this particular space is more around, if you look at the alts that exist within the Terra ecosystem, there are a plethora of coins that have launched over really the last, I'd say, 12 or 13 months. And again, with maybe the odd exception, most of them have after an initial burst in some cases, but not all, to be fair, we have seen a significant bleed. I think the conversation started out at the start of this session, looking at the value that these projects need to generate. And then we went on a really nice tangent as Yaup stepped up and we talked around the Passage 3D marketplace and the associated NFTs that have really kind of built the awareness around it. I think ultimately bringing it back to the Terra challenge, it's whilst as an ecosystem it's been around for a few years, I think it's still in the early stages in terms of its many additional use cases, protocols, and so on that are developing around it. I think my own sort of concern/question, which is what led to this as a topic, is how in a system that's really growing and we're seeing a lot of value capture within Terra Luna itself, its undoubted growth, how do these other tokens that exist within that same ecosystem generate their own long-term use case and value? I think we have some really nice examples there from the gamification, the 3D world that we talked about with Passage, that's going to really generate a lot of additional utility for the particular. Well, it's an interesting one in itself. I mean, it's a metaverse. I think probably Yaup could probably give you a bit more detail than I can. But essentially, the Passage 3D marketplace is going to open up a fantastic new opportunity. It's not in Terra. I don't know if Yaup, if you could just give a little bit more information, because I appreciate that obviously Wizard Wax, you arrived slightly late to the call. We appreciate you being here, or very much so. But if you could do a brief recap, that would be amazing.
Sure. Yeah, it's Yaupster.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. What was the question?
It was
brief explanation of the 3D metaverse he's talking about coming up. I want to look into it myself. I'm an investor for a lot of things, so I love looking into new things.
Sure, yeah. So, yeah, the white paper is available in their Discord, either the Passage 3D Discord or the Strange Clans game Discord. The Strange Plans is an NFT game, metaverse with questing and guilds, and like think of a League of Legends, like RuneScape, like
I'm hip. I play games all the time.
Run wild with that. But yeah, my profile picture is a Strange Plans NFT. But this supposed to be that game, that virtual world that for that game is supposed to only be just the first of many virtual worlds built on the Passage ecosystem. So the Passage You have plenty of time to go read their tokenomics. The marketplace just launched today. They didn't send an airdrop or sell coins to anyone that I'm aware of. Based off the tokenomics right now, they did have a private sale, but they never did announce that. So there might be an announcement coming soon. They have plans to do an LBP on Osmosis, which if you're not familiar with an LBP, that's a liquidity bootstrapping pool. But although I know, Sunny, they might be changing it from a liquidity bootstrapping pool plan to a liquidity bootstrapping event plan. So I don't know exactly which one on that, but it will most likely be launched on Osmosis, and there will also be an airdrop. So they have said that there's an airdrop coming. But your gist of your question is really just what is the Passage ecosystem?
Yeah, you pretty much told me, because I, like I said, I'm an investor, so I got so many NFTs. You literally in the first like sentence told me what it was. I got like 6 or 7 NFTs on the Solana blockchain that are also like just like what you're saying. They're going to be like fun games, kind of like RuneScape, like World of Warcraft, all that. They're going to be like play to earn, so you're going to earn their tokens from playing their game and everything. So yeah, I understand now. I'll look into it.
The token for the game, the token for the Strange Clan game is actually different. The in-game token for the Strange Clan game is actually Yop. That is actually where I got my name, Yopster. Yop is just a barbaric yell of agreement and a clan thing. It's just like a really good community over there. So I really like it. But anyways, the passage ecosystem is separate. So that's like the first, the first world that's being built on it. But it's a toolkit. What it really is it's a toolkit for other builders, other creators. Eventually, it'll be permissionless with plug and play. Right now, you're gonna in the infancy, you're gonna have to reach out to their team if you really wanted to use their toolkit and build a world of your own. So it's really kind of like a decentralized world builder of metaverses. And so there's a tokenomics.
So it's like a seed. Okay. Big time. That's actually really cool, because they'll help like a lot of other people. A seed is like, I don't know if you ever played video games, but it's like the seed is what they generate to people. And it's like a seed phrase. It's not like your wallet or anything, but it's literally like a code, and they just build off the code in that world. So I understand that. It sounds really like really interesting, because like I was hearing a lot of stuff about the Cosmos and their NFTs are coming up. So I definitely want to like tune into it. And then my last thing I wanted to ask you guys before like I just mute my mic and like start eating. I wanted to ask you guys any Terra alternative coins I should start investing into or look into to like buy and hold for a while. That's a question for anybody.
For a lot of them, actually, I think what's happened, and just to give a recap of what we've talked about, Terra alts have had a lot of issues with value, not value capture themselves, but a lot of issues keeping their value. If you look at pretty much every single Terra alt chart, has been a launch and then an 80% drop or not a large drop from launch. I think this will change soon. I think you're going to see this turn around very soon. Part of the reasons for this, and we've touched on it at the start, and this is part of the reason for this spaces, has been, firstly, the value capture of Luna is very, very high. So a lot of people sell their tokens for Luna, and there's a lot of interest for Luna, and it makes it very hard for alts to gain traction. Secondly, we've seen launches maybe that haven't been as great as they could be. So launches, which possibly would have been great on the ecosystems, but on Terra, they've been tough. And then you're seeing a lot of projects launch without their value capture mechanisms in place, or having staking or good tokenomics in place, and that's definitely impacted, which on other ecosystems probably would get away with it as well, in the past at least. But now, especially with Terra Alts, you need to have that stuff really solidified before gaining value. So I think everything is bled pretty hard from launch. If you look at most charts, I think almost any, you know, altcoin currently, not any altcoin, but most of the major altcoins on Alt at the moment will be good buys. White Whale, Loop, Kuji, even Astro, you know, Apollo, Spectrum, all of those have had, you know, they've gone through, you know, some pretty big bleeds in the last couple months, and they've got pretty, some of them have pretty like solid tokenomics and solid products and a great move forward. So I think that you're going to see those gain a lot of value over the next, you know, couple months if we keep in this bull run. So I look at all of those. There's a lot of projects. I'm a little bit biased because I, you know, I'm on the team for Loop. So obviously, yeah,
I'll say that too. Like, I'm a little biased on altcoins right now for Terra, as from what you're saying. It's just, I come from Solana. I keep saying that, but the Solana altcoins, they like were getting traction over in Solana like fast. Like, people are coming from Ethereum so fast, like, to Solana, and even their alternative coins can't hold up to like the value. Like, they'll pump, and then everybody will just start dumping, and it'll just create the downward trend that most of them cannot recover. Like, I haven't seen one Solana token that like does good long run. Like, that's an alternative coin. There may be like one or two, like Radium and stuff like that, but those are all obviously like marketplaces and like actual use cases. So if it comes to Terra altcoins, I don't think we're ready in the ecosystem for them to pump as NFTs aren't really even pumping yet. Like, the like Discords don't have 5, 10,000, 20,000 users yet, like in Discords, to even pump stuff like that. So if you ask me, like, on Terra altcoins, from what you said, I'd probably just wait then just a little bit longer until Terra grows a little bit more.
I think it depends how long term you are, because if you see that and you're able to do the research, what happens at this stage is, I think we've kind of hit the bottom of the I could be completely wrong, but I think we've kind of hit that bottom of the downtrend and inflection point. So it's almost a good time to start scaling into altcoins that their values are really low compared to their fundamentals. And then, you know, if you're early, you can always stake those and earn stuff. So, you know, a lot of projects have gone down, and I can say this for Loop, and I say that I am biased because I'm obviously on the team, but, you know, we've built a lot of stuff, and we've seen the token price drop. But there's enough fundamentals for that to be really big in the future. So in that sense, it's, you know, about scaling into, you know, positions, but also doing good research about what has great token value capture for the future. Because otherwise, if you're just paying out emissions without that value capture, then you're right, you end up like Solana, where you bleed into the ground and you don't recover.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's great advice. That's basically dollar cost average. I mean, and yeah, you always want to do that on good projects. So, but you mentioned a minute ago that the altcoins on Terra have been bleeding out, and I would just want to say, like, don't get discouraged. Like, even really good Cosmos projects that have like solid in real life use cases, like DVPN and Akash, which you mentioned earlier, they've been just on a downtrend for a while. Like, you look at the Akash chart, and it's like, man, like, this is literally a competitor for Amazon Web Service. Like, this has so much potential. But I mean, they had a huge run up. We had a huge bubble, basically. So now we have to find that real floor of value that utility token actually brings in real life. So, I mean, it's just a discovery phase, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I talk about value capture, this is the big part of this space, is talking about, you know, how does, you know, holding that particular token benefit me? And I think it's interesting because we look at emissions, and even projects that have really strong fundamental values can have a lot of emissions in the early stages to bootstrap their particular protocol. And, you know, even if we look at it and we go, hey, this thing is going to be the future, all this sort of stuff, until, you know, like, that hype might sustain it for a while, but when that wears off, you fall back down on direct value capture of your token, which is, if you're emitting a lot and you're emitting a lot of tokens and you're not capturing revenue and you're capturing value in that token, then you're going to go down when the hype wears off. And that's, you know, part of it. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you're going to, you know, people expect that up only is the answer. But the reality is, you know, obviously over the long term, that's what investors look for. And that's what projects look for, is for their token to appreciate over the long term. But I think there's also this kind of understanding that things are just up only straight away is not necessarily realistic. And you're going to go up and you're going to go down and you're going to go back up. See, nobody wants a 90% drop from the top. That's an investor's nightmare. And it's about working to avoid that and building good value capture in that from the stage. But early, you know, emissions are important at the start of the project, but it's just about collecting value. I'll just, for those that may not know, I'll just touch on what we'll be working on Loop, just to give you an idea of a basic of value capture of how we've, you know, bringing value into that token, which is distributing revenue streams into the token for buybacks and distribution to stakers. So the whole idea is to build an ecosystem. So I've got the DEX, got an NFT marketplace, got a couple other products. And the idea is, you know, obviously the Loop token is a farming, you know, is acting as a farming token, as an incentive for, you know, people to deposit liquidity on the DEX to incentivize liquidity. The problem is, if you just have a token that incentivizes liquidity and doesn't have any value capture, it ends up bleeding because, you know, people obviously swap that token for Luna, for UST, or to compound, but, you know, back into their position. So you need to build in like that monetary value capture so that that token is very valuable to hold. So the whole idea is to go, okay, most DEXs, and Astro's building this as well, and Loop's about to launch this, is distributing a certain portion of trading fees to you know, stakers of that particular coin, where they buy back off market and they distribute to token. That can sometimes be enough, but sometimes it's not enough to offset the emissions. So what we've done is, you know, we're building an NFT marketplace. So the whole idea is to distribute a portion, like to do the same with a portion of fees from the marketplace, which is, you know, take some of the fees from the marketplace, buy the token off market and distribute to stakers. So if you can kind of create, and this is just a rough example, but it's to give you an idea around protocols, how can you come up with these value capture mechanisms in your protocol so that you're able to distribute revenue, but you're able to create a lot of buy pressure in your token to counteract effects of emissions? And that is kind of the way, I think, moving forward, that you can capture value and build value on your token. I hope that, like, that's kind of the overall arching kind of thing of this conversation with alts and value capture that we're discussing.
I had a question for y'all real quick. What are the fees like on Cosmo?
The IBC transfers are usually less than 10 cents. That's the nice part about having your own chain. When you create your own chain called Hua Hua Coin or whatever, you can set your own. That's the meme coin chain. It's like, that's a dog meme, if you haven't heard of it. They created their entirely own chain, and they can set their own governance on chain, and they can set their own gas fees, and it's tiny, minuscule. I mean, it's a meme coin, but I mean, yeah, in general, Cosmos, IBC, anything IBC going back and forth on the Cosmos, and any Cosmos direct transactions, so that, I mean, they're very cheap. And on Osmosis, it's actually free. Like, there's free transactions. You don't have to use the free option on all your transactions, but it's actually there are still free transaction on Osmosis.
Well, that brings me to my next question real quick. On Solana blockchain right now, the fees are so cheap, like 10 cents if that, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, the problem that we're having right now in the Solana blockchain is botting. You can send 1,000 transactions and barely be cost anything, you know what I mean? So somebody can buy NFTs, like 1,000 of them, and it would cost them nothing. And they would just do it because even if they failed the transactions, it would be nothing, you know what I mean? So I'm just wondering, can like Terra, Cosmos and all that, like, will their fees be like adjusted to help with stuff like that? Or do we think like we're set and like maybe like Terra might do the $80 too?
Yeah, no, I think the fees will be adjusted as on an ongoing basis. It's obviously unsustainable to have a zero fee option for the validators to be running and you know, for free and working for free. But also from the opposite side of things, it's unsustainable when Luna's price is, you know, skyrocketing. You have to be able to make adjustments and change over to UST instead, for example. So the ability for the chains to be limber as things as adoption comes, I think is important to consider. And I also want to getting back to the main topic, I want to talk about maybe what aspects of a altcoin on Terra would benefit from a deflationary mirroring the deflationary aspect of the beautiful relationship between UST and Luna and why that's done so well. Taking notes from the success of Luna, how do we apply the correct mechanics to get that burn on a token? Have high emissions early on, bootstrap the liquidity, but yet also have a built-in mechanism that is going to put some buy pressure on the coin, or buy or burn, or both.
I think that's what we're doing. Like we've been working on that. But obviously, like as you just said, like you need to have those emissions at the start. And that's the phase that we're seeing go through is a lot of these protocols. Liquidity is hard on Terra. Like actually holding liquidity, Astro has actually managed to capture a lot of liquidity. But I can tell you from working within a DEX, holding liquidity is hard on Terra. There's a lot of money that goes into Luna. And we're seeing this with our pairs. Like, you know, it's easier to get liquidity on Luna B Luna and Luna pairs, but all the other alts, it's tough to retain liquidity. So because of that, you know, obviously emissions get higher, and this early bootstrapping phase is an interesting one. And I think we'll see that value capture and burn. We were talking about this a while ago, is burning is now more looked down upon in some shape or form, I think, to do with early tokenomics, mainly to do with exchanges. So I can't remember exactly what it was, but we were talking about this a couple months ago, how exchanges are really like, they really look down upon like coins that burn, like not at like a bigger level, but in terms of like smaller altcoins, I think probably they probably had a bad taste from, you know, the Safe Moons and the BNB coins and stuff. So they seem to be pretty on burn mechanisms, but buybacks are great. I mean, that's kind of what we're working on with Loop, but it takes time to implement as well. So until that's implemented, it takes a bit of time, and you need the volume as well for that to work. So the whole idea is to create an ecosystem of products that all distribute value to the token holders. So buying the token buybacks off market, distribution to stakers. So you have a staking pool, and then, you know, fees are then fed into the Loop token, buy the token, distribute to stakers. And if you can build out those mechanisms, they take a while to kick in, but that can create a lot of value similar to a burn mechanism. So I think that's the kind of goal. But it does take a bit of time to set up. Quickly, I just wanted to touch on fees too. Fees on Terra are taken in UST for the most part. You can choose both. Probably being in Cosmos, you probably noticed that that's done on Luna a lot. Typically within the Terra ecosystem, though, UST is the main fee driver. So fees are always going to stay pretty low. I think it is an issue that we're going to get with, as you said, with quality. So that's our role as communities to make sure that quality stays. And, you know, low fees are very, very important. And I think for the long term, the low fees are going to really enable adoption in third world countries and adoption in places where they may not have great banking systems. If you've got 3 cents or 0.3 cent fees, then someone in India or someone in South America or someone in Africa, if they're getting involved with your blockchain, they could start transacting and it's actually affordable for them to do so. So I think that's going to be an important part of it as well.
It's been a great onboarding mechanism for getting people into yield farming on Osmosis, because they can start with such a low amount of money versus compared to Ethereum. Like it's a hard ask to get someone to come on farm on PancakeSwap or stake ETH when you have such low yield there and such inflexibility. I mean, it's been a long road to ETH too. And that's given the Cosmos and Luna, I think, a big strategic advantage that we've been able to make a lot of advantages on. So that's awesome. But like, it's not realistic to make a transaction on ETH if you got $100. Like, you're going to spend half that on transactions. You might not even get anything in by the time you make the multiple transactions you need to actually get into a farm or like a yield generating lending application or something like that to actually use DeFi. You would need a lot more to make it worth it. So Osmo, with the bootstrapping it's done on its zero fees, has really done well. Obviously, you see the massive, it's 1.5 5 billion locked on Osmosis. They have that unique 14-day bonding for the LP to farm, and that gives it some stability, and there's free transactions so people can jump in with $100 and test it at waters and experience it for a couple of weeks, months, and then decide if they want to make bigger moves. And, you know, they can also onboard a lot more people that way. So it's getting a lot more adoption from that side of things.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up in a couple of minutes. I think it's getting a bit late for Super Terra and stuff, but I think it's been an awesome conversation. I think, yeah, that's the main thing I wanted to look at, because it's quite interesting how I think if Osmosis was on top of Terra, it would have been bled into the ground, obviously. The big thing that we get on Terra is about emissions, and Osmo's got huge emissions, but it's got a lot of value, and it's and it's managed to catch just so much value into Osmosis, which is challenging to do. And I mean, even like kind of giants, like big dexes like Astro. I mean, Astro's got 1.1 you know, billion in TVL, and the token price is still dying. I know they launched about staking and all this sort of stuff, but it is quite interesting to look at, like, the contrast between, I believe that if Osmo was on Terra, it would have had a very different experience to being in its own chain, and looking into the future going like, you know, is how are Terra alts going to catch up with that eventually? And I think they will. I think it's going to take time. I think we're in that bootstrapping building phase, and when there's a bit more stability and those capture mechanisms are built in, we'll see like some really good value flowing into the alts. So definitely some good stuff to look out for. Did you guys want to add any last words before we wrap up? I think we're going to move on. But if you've got any last words, yeah.
Thanks for having me up here. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I did have some technical issues, as Simon knows from our chat off screen. Really, really interesting conversation. We went on several really good tangents. And I think, Simon's point there at the end is quite important, because ultimately we know that there are successful chains, coins, and so on. Just at this stage in Terra's evolution, perhaps the pull of the moon, the lunar coin, is perhaps dampening it. I did think, though, when we were talking earlier about liquidity, one of the challenges we have, and I think it was Wizard Wax that mentioned it, at this stage, absolutely certain protocols are taking in quite a lot of liquidity and locking it up, but actually in relative terms, Terra is still, certainly if you look at certain alts, it's not got the size. I think when you talked about, you know, the Discord numbers and everything else, but for me, I see it as a good thing, because it means that there's lots of room to grow as more and more adopt and are aware of the Terra ecosystem. If you look back even just 12 months, it's unrecognizable. You know, we've gone from having one protocol live to now having a significant number, and a lot of other projects that are now live that weren't even being developed 12 months ago. Plus, you know, that's before you even start looking at the whole NFT space. Let's take it another 12 months from now, and those projects that as we talked about tonight, that do address the whole challenge of giving people a reason to hold and actually deriving value to the holder, that means that effectively that there's buy pressure there on the token. That will come. That will come with the development of the ecosystem. I genuinely believe that. But it's been fascinating. Really enjoyed the tangents, particularly the Yaupster intervention, which led into a really, really interesting conversation around other chains, utilities, and opportunities. And really, really enjoyed the evening. As I say, apologies, Twitter, and it happened to me earlier on a space where I was a guest, was doing its in and out rugging, which is something we're all used to. But I'm sure it will get better over time. And like the Terra Alt system, the growth potential is massive.
Yeah, guys, thanks for jumping on. I mean, you're looking at it like you're looking at all these apex protocols that have, you know, 10 to 15 mil in market cap at the moment, so the opportunity is massive. For, you know, they may not all go crazy, but there's some really, really powerful, strong protocols in that basket, so there is opportunity there, which is I see it as an advantage. So Cool, guys. Thanks for jumping on, and we'll see you guys on next week's Spaces or chat during the week.
Thanks, everyone. Speak soon.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Super Terra, Terra Alts, The Challenge of Tokenomics and Value Capture, recorded on Monday, February 28th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coop with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the weight was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line. Spaces.